If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Worth Baptist Church, today is one of the most important days of the entire year. Today, Sunday, June 5th, is Revival Rally Day, and this marks the beginning of our outstanding and tremendous summer revival period. Every summer, we emphasize revival at Worth Baptist Church. In fact, summertime is revival time. During the days of June, July, and August, we will be preaching revival messages. And there'll be revival music, and the spirit of revival already prevails. All throughout the month of May, we were in prayerful preparation for what we believe God is going to do in the days of the summer. So we want you to join with us in prayer during the summer days that God would send a revival to our nation. We are not praying selfishly that we would have a revival only at Worth Baptist Church. We're asking God to send a revival to America. We believe America's need today is a turning back to God, back to the Bible, back to the ancient path, back to spiritual things. We've heard so much of modern-day religion, and we've seen so much of sin and sex and sensuality and homosexuality and all of these things until we believe America needs to get on her knees before God. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This is our revival text, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If you do not already know that verse by memory, I'm going to ask you this day, before the day ends, commit to memory 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. And every day during the summer, we want you to quote that verse, read that verse, share it with someone else, write it down, put it in print, put it on the mirror, and as you shave every morning or as you get ready, you can see the revival text of Worth Baptist Church. Remember, it's 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, then will I heal their land. Be in prayer for us. And be in prayer for revival to come to America. I can think of no better place for revival to begin than right here in the city of Fort Worth. So remember, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church. And we invite you to share Revival Rally Day today in all the services. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. Bring the whole family. Our motto is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. I hope that you'll bring your family on this first summer Sunday, Revival Rally Day, to share with us the joys of studying God's Word in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11. And our Sunday evening worship service is at 7. Both messages will center about the theme of revival. And we trust that you'll come and share with us Revival Rally Day today in all the services of Worth Baptist Church. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. As you know, we are already well on the way with our building program. In fact, we hope to occupy it in the fall of this year at Campus Drive and Loop 820. So our theme for this year is Building for Christ as we Build for Eternity. Again, we covet your prayers in these matters as our building nears completion. In the meanwhile, at our present address, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we'll be looking for you and your family on Revival Rally Day. That's today in all the services of Worth Baptist Church. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. We have but one way of knowing that you receive these broadcasts, and that's for you to write us and let us know about it. So we invite you to write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Why not sit down today and drop a note? And if you would like a free cassette tape of today's message, all you need to do is write and request it. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. That zip code is 76119. If you'd like that cassette tape containing today's message, all you need to do is write, and we shall look forward to hearing from you by mail this week. Again, I would remind you of the importance of this day, the first summer Sunday, launching our summer revival, Revival Rally Day at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And now to my message on today's broadcast, entitled The Commitment of Jesus Christ. I shall read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning at verse 9, and I shall read through beginning at verse 5, and I shall read through verse 9. That's Hebrews 10, 5 through 9. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for thy blessings today on this first Sunday of the summer season. I pray for the spirit of revival to be in our hearts. O God, I pray that thou would show us the way. Give us wisdom, give us guidance, give us grace, give us the strength. And I pray, dear God, that all over America men would turn to thee. I pray for our White House, for the President, for all the administration, for our state government, for our local government. And I pray, dear Lord, for the churches of our great city. May we one and all experience revival during these days. And may Jesus Christ alone be glorified. Bless our shut-in friends today, those who are sick in the hospitals, in the rest homes, or wherever they might be. May this broadcast reach them and bring good tidings to their hearts. Save some person listening to this broadcast in this hour. Reclaim some backslider. Encourage that one who is discouraged, that one who's ready to give up and throw in the towel. Dear God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work a miracle in that heart right now. Is our prayer in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. Now in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, at verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, the commitment of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the world's greatest figure. No other man was born as Jesus Christ was born. No other man lived as Jesus Christ lived. No other man died a sacrificial, substitutionary death, that our Lord Jesus Christ died upon Calvary's cross. And no man ever conquered death through resurrection except Jesus Christ. He is the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the bread of life. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And there is salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ was committed to the ministry of the church. He founded the church. He built the church. He inspired the church. He gave a commission to the church. He gave power to the church. He wrote letters to the church. And one day, He's coming for the church. In my message on Worth Baptist Hour today, entitled The Commitment of Jesus Christ, I want to share with you several things to which Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was committed. First of all, Jesus Christ was committed to the task of taking care of God's business. In Luke chapter 2, we have the first recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ when He was just a lad of 12. Those words are recorded in verse 49 of Luke 2. Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." The greatest business in all the earth is God's business. The little boy went into the bank one day and said to the teller, as he laid $4 down on the counter, "I want to open an account in the name of John G. Williams and Company." The teller recognized the neighborhood boy and said to him, "John, I know who John G. Williams is, but who is the company?" And the little boy said, "The company is God." Oh, what a joy to know that we are partners with God. We're in business with God. And the greatest business in the world is the business of executing the will of God through the ministry of the local church. It is said that the Queen of England once asked a man to go to a foreign country to take care of some special business for her. The man answered, "I cannot. I must stay home and take care of my business." To which the Queen replied, "You go and take care of my business, and I will take care of your business." And that's precisely what God is saying to you today. Mr. Businessman, let me say this to you. If you want your business taken care of, begin today taking care of God's business. Why don't you just close up the shop, close up the store, close up the restaurant, close up that place of business, and go home and get ready and go to church. If you'll take care of God's business today, God will take care of your business tomorrow. Someone has rightly observed, the public business of the church is the private business of every member. Let me say a word to you, church member, wherever you belong. You need to get involved in the business of winning souls through the ministry of your church. Learn today to take care of God's business. Jesus Christ was committed to it, and so must we be committed to God's business. In the second place, Jesus Christ was committed to the idea of attending the house of worship. Could I ask you a heart-to-heart and personal question? If you are not going to church today, why not? If you do not attend church, why don't you attend church? If you do not belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, why do you not belong? If you do not support the church, why do you not support the church? Jesus Christ was committed to the idea of going to the house of worship. God has set aside a day. We call it Sunday. In reality, it's the Lord's Day. And this is the day that God has made to worship Him. In Luke 4:16, we read, "And He came to Nazareth, where He grew up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue." There is nothing more important than worship. For America, for this city, for your family, for your home, for your life, the most important thing today is worship. Thomas Carlyle once said, and I quote, "The greatest calamity that can fall upon a nation is the loss of the freedom of worship." End of quote. How true that is. Nothing would be more devastating to America today than for us to lose the freedom of worship. Now watch this. If you abuse it, you're going to lose it. If America doesn't come back to her senses and consecrate God's day as a day of worship, we are going to lose the privilege and the freedom of worship in our nation. Worship comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means worth-ship. In other words, it points out how worthy God is. The Greek for worship is proskuneo. It means to fall prostrate before God. To give God the service of your body and not the service of your soul is hypocrisy. To give God the service of your soul and not your body is sacrilege. To give God neither is atheism. To give God both is worship. No wonder the psalmist said, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Maker." Jesus Christ was committed to worship. In the third place, Jesus Christ was committed to a life of prayer. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1 at verse 35, I read, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Also I read in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, at verse 12, of the prayer life of our Lord Jesus Christ. "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." Jesus Christ was committed to prayer. Someone said prayer changes things, and I might add, it changes people. The powerhouse is always there, so push the button labeled prayer. Praying pews and powerful pulpits make perfect partners. If there's going to be power in the pulpit, there must be praying in the pew. I believe more than ever before, America needs to get on her knees. America needs to come back to God. America needs to rediscover the true art of praying. Praying is talking to God. Will you talk to God today? Will you pray today? Will you ask Him to send revival to America? Let us be committed, as was Jesus Christ, to a life of prayer. Not only that, but Jesus Christ was committed to the principle of tithing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 23, "You ought to tithe." The Pharisees once came to Jesus and said to him, "Shall we pay tribute to Caesar?" Jesus said, "Show me a coin." When they took out the coin, Jesus said, "Whose inscription is on that coin?" They said, "Why, Caesar's." Jesus said, "Render therefore unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's." Render unto God the tithe. The tithe is the 10% of your gross income. The tithe is the Lord's, according to Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. The tithe is holy unto God, and the tithe is the minimum that you should give to Jesus Christ through the ministry of the local church, not to this radio broadcast, not to somebody's television ministry, but to the local church. The tithe belongs because Jesus Christ sat over against the treasury in the local place of worship and watch them cast their tithes into the treasury of the church. When you miss your tithe, now watch this carefully, you should add a 20% interest charge to it. You know, when you miss a payment downtown to the bank or to the department store, there's a penalty. The same is true when you miss God's tithe, there's a penalty of 20%. Look it up in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 31. Note these two verses, Leviticus 27:30 and Leviticus 27:31. The tithe is the Lord's, and when you miss it, you should add 20% interest to it. Not only that, beloved, but when you fail to tithe, you are robbing God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. "Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings." You are robbing God when you fail to put your tithe, 10% of your income, into your church. My beloved friend, if America doesn't turn back to God and doesn't again begin to honor God with the first fruits of their substance and income, God is going to judge America. If You'll read in the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 11, that I don't have time to read now. Malachi 3, 8 through 11. You cannot afford not to tithe. May God help you to see that Jesus Christ was committed to the principle of tithing, and so must you be. Someone put it this way. Some pay their dues when due. Some when overdue. Some never do. How do you do? Commit yourself today to the principle of tithing, and remember the tithe is the Lord's, and it belongs in the treasury of the local church. And I trust that you'll begin that practice today. Jesus Christ was furthermore committed to the doctrine of forgiveness. From the cross he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus said in Mark 11, 25 and 26, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father who is in heaven might forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you." Commit yourself today to the doctrine of forgiving everyone who has wronged you. Jesus Christ was committed to the will of God. It is so stated in John 5:30, where Jesus said, "I seek not my will, but the will of the Father who sent me." The total commitment of our Lord Jesus Christ is seen in the fact that he was committed to die on Calvary's cross for the salvation of all men. Jesus Christ was committed to a substitutionary, sacrificial death upon the cross. There he bore your sins in his own body on the tree, that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Would you not turn by faith to Jesus Christ today? Why don't you make a resolve in your heart that you'll be committed to taking care of God's business, that you'll commit yourself to attending the church, to prayer, to forgiveness, to tithing, and to doing God's will? I have this footnote, and I shall be through. If you are not committed to the things that Jesus Christ is committed to, then you are not really committed to Christ at all. Give your commitment to Jesus Christ in all these areas today. And may God bless you as you do. Again, I remind you that today, June the 5th, is Revival Rally Day at Worth Baptist Church, 3309. Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We invite you and your family to share with us a tremendous summer revival beginning today. And in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you by mail. Our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. So, until next Lord's Day at the same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your family, upon your home, upon your own individual life. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.